Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to our podcast here for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. We are a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith, and our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And so thank you for listening, and it is our prayer and our hope that you're encouraged through this in your faith and that it does help you to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as always, when I say we, I am referring to my friend, my cohort, my good buddy, the woman with the great shoes, Pastor Stephanie. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Wearing boots today, actually.
Okay,
so one of the first days of this year. Well, not this year, but this season.
This season.
That I have worn boots.
Okay,
yes.
So this morning, for those of y'all that are listening, just pardon me while this gets personal for a second. So this morning, I sent you an ad on shoes. Did you look at those shoes?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like those?
What? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
See, I figured you would, because I just thought, those were the dumbest looking things I've ever seen.
I think that there's something great about unique shoes.
Uh-huh.
Like, in fact, I saw some the other day that I would never, ever, ever wear, but they were shaped like a banana, and they were yellow.
Were they slippery?
You would have to be careful with that. But I was like, huh, could I make that work with a yellow outfit? I don't really know. I'm not quite that brave.
Yeah,
but
well, these boots, if y'all buy them at Dillard's and you see them, I will not insult your shoes.
That's right, right.
If
don't
you wear
say
them.
Anything.
But I just looked at those and I'm like, wow, who came up with that?
I know, I know. It's somebody is being, it's their creative outlet. That's
there
what
you
it
go.
Is.
There you go. Probably my daughter will want some for Christmas
right,
now.
That's right.
Well, friends, we're starting a new podcast series to go along with our sermon series. And the sermon series is called Anointed. That word, the first time that we really read that in the Old Testament is it was an act that people did to set apart somebody for some great work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David was anointed to be king over God's people. But I'm particularly drawn to the prophecy of Isaiah when he says of the Lord's servant, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me.
Yes.
And we know that in the Gospels, when Jesus is baptized and then he's ready to start his public ministry, he goes to the synagogue in his hometown and he asked them to give him the scroll of Isaiah. And I just love that, the scroll. Not the book, not the digital version. It was the
Wouldn't
scroll.
Wouldn't that be cool if you had your own scroll, like the scroll of DA?
Oh, gosh.
I know, right?
I would be so full of myself. That's why the Lord would never let it happen. Today we're reading from 1st DA.
That's right.
But Jesus takes that scroll of Isaiah, and he reads that scripture. It's Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And after Jesus reads it, as was their custom in the synagogue, they would always stand to read the scripture, and then he would sit. And when he sat down, it says that all eyes were focused on him. I just kind of imagine with a sense of dramatic pause that people were kind of like, okay, what's Jesus going to say? Because at this point, Jesus isn't popular.
Right.
And this is just in his hometown. These are the people that watched him grow up.
Right.
But he just, his silence, I'm guessing, would just kind of suck him in.
Drawing him in.
And then he says, what you have just heard is fulfilled.
Yes. Ooh. Mic drop.
Yeah. And of course, he goes on to talk about, here's the things the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me for.
Mm-hmm.
What I described it as last week was, it's kind of like a job description.
Yeah.
When you think of Jesus' ministry, how it was that he shared good news, how he comforted people, how he set people free from oppression and possession. And it's just like that's Jesus was saying.
Yeah.
By the way, Isaiah was talking about me.
Yeah.
Now it is fulfilled. Let's get on with it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you don't get the sense that it has. You know, because if some of you are thinking, "Wow, you know, was Jesus the first televangelist?" I don't think it had that kind of drama.
Right.
I just think it had such impact that he was throwing it out there, and people must have remembered that. And some people were probably confused, and some people were probably angered. In fact, I think it does go on to say that some were like, "Well, is isn't this Mary's son?
Right.
Which to refer to him by his mother instead of, you know,
it's
his
kind of
father
an insult.
was a slam.
Uh-huh. But don't you imagine that there were some people there that day who also were like, yeah, like this resonates in my spirit. Like they just knew when they heard him say that, they believed.
I mean, because of what I believe about God, because of what I believe about the Holy Spirit, and the fact that somebody remembered this enough to write it down and say, hey, look, everybody, he told us this is who
exactly
he was.
Exactly.
So that we're working off that prophecy in Isaiah that Jesus claims for himself. And called this sermon series Anointed. Now, anointed is not a word that's typically used among most United Methodists.
Right.
I really don't hear too many people saying that. A lot of charismatic friends, a lot of Pentecostal friends.
Definitely.
And, of course, when I went to Oral Roberts University, you would hear people say, wow, that was anointed.
Right.
And it's like that. How do you describe that? How do you define that?
Mm-hmm.
And the way I talked about it in the sermon was it was the it factor.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you look at something and you're like, I don't know what it was, but they definitely had it.
Yes, yes. So, right.
So I'm curious because we haven't had a chance to discuss this, but when you hear that word, I mean, is that a word that you've been familiar with in your life? I mean, what do you think of when you hear it?
Yeah. Well, I love that word. And it is a word I have grown up with. Of course, my dad also went to ORU. And so it was a word that was frequently used in our
house.
And you
actually went there for a year?
And I went there for a semester. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Uh-huh. It was my first semester of college. So I love that word. And I wish that we used it more in United Methodism, because the interesting thing about that word is, so you've got this idea from the Old Testament, like you just said, that that prophets would usually anoint people with oil as a symbol of an anointing of the Holy Spirit,
right?
Because we had not yet been freely given the Holy Spirit like we were in Acts 2.
Yeah, it had not been poured out on every
like
person,
all people,
but a specific person for a specific task, and maybe just for a season.
And just, right, exactly. And I remember the story about David being anointed as king and doing some reading about this where Samuel poured the oil over his head.
Right.
You know, it was this idea like we think of kind of as baptism, but they poured the oil over his head and as a symbol that the Holy Spirit was coming upon him for the purpose of being the king, which is a really big deal because really at that point, that was the first king that God chose.
Right.
The people chose Saul, and that didn't end well. And so then God chooses David. And I love that when you think about it being connected to the anointing of the Holy Spirit then that we see in Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit comes upon us as tongues of fire on our heads, and that we have now access to the Holy Spirit, all of us who believe in Christ. And so when I think about that word anointed, I've always thought of it as just an extremely powerful word. And I love it that it's the coming together of God's Spirit with our spirit. And just like you said a second ago, I mean, for lack of a better word, that's where the magic happens.
Yeah.
Like, that's where the good stuff happens.
Right. And I, you know, when you're talking about David again, I'm remembering when Saul kept trying to kill David.
Yeah.
And David did have opportunity, motive, all those things to take Saul out.
Yeah.
And people encouraged him to do that.
Yeah.
And his response was, "You do not lift your hand up against the Lord's anointed."
Uh-huh.
So David really saw Saul
that
he believed, you know, well, if God's anointed me, he must have anointed him.
Right.
I also have to say that this whole idea of pouring oil over somebody's head is one of those things that from the smallest days that I can remember, I just thought was kind of gross.
Right. It's like, what was that show in, oh gosh, it was like in the 80s. Do you remember where they pour slime on people's heads? I can't remember what it was called.
The kids show.
Yeah, whatever it was on Nickelodeon. But anyway,
I don't remember.
Green slime is coming down.
Yeah, the green slime. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But like, you're right. Oil is just this thick substance that's hard to get off.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember if it was a cousin or my sister or a friend. Or what, but I remember somebody had knocked some oil off a cabinet. And it did. I mean, it doused them.
Yes.
And it's just like, that's kind of gross to look at.
You're not getting that off easily.
And everybody was like, man, you got to go wash this out now. And it didn't come out easily, which I like that.
If you're
anointed, it doesn't come out easily.
right.
But the whole idea that this is a special thing given to a person. Yeah. And I also like, I had read in a book called Sparkling Gems. It's a daily devotional book somebody gave me years ago where Rick Renner, the author, is someone who evidently really knows Greek.
Wow, that's cool.
So he would dig into the biblical language. And there's different words used for anointing in Scripture. But he talked about how it literally means to rub on or rub in. And that oil, like we hear the story of the woman who anointed Jesus with perfume. And he said, you know, it was expensive. So you didn't just pour it on somebody and waste it. If you were going to anoint someone for, and I think it was common purposes, you'd pour it in your hands. And rub it in there. And he said, so anointing is a hands-on activity. And that's one of the things I look at. That's why when I preach or when I'm praying for you, when you preach, it's like, anoint this word.
But
God, have your hands on Stephanie. She's speaking your word. She's not trying to draw attention to herself. It may sound like me, but I want them to hear you. And I just, I love the whole thing of that. So if you were to help somebody who's listening and they're like, okay, I'm with you so far, but can you give me an example of someone or something that you would look at and say, wow, that was anointed?
That's really interesting question. Well, when I think about what you just said about the oil, you know, when you rub oil into your skin, it usually has healing properties. It does good things,
soothing properties.
Good things for your skin. But it's not like you can separate it back out. Like I can't rub oil into my hand and then give you back all the oil. Like it's now a part of me. Like I can't separate it. And so when I think about like a hands-on example of that, that would be that, because when God anoints us, he mixes with who we are and he uses who we are. So it's not like he says, Stephanie is no good and I'm pushing her to the side and now it's all God. God is saying, no, I value who Stephanie is and I'm going to live within her and speak for her in that sense. Like when we're praying for anointing of the Spirit, when we speak, we're asking God to speak for us, but he's still using your voice, my voice.
And our personality.
Exactly, and the gifts that he's given to us. So I think about it like that with the oil being rubbed into our skin. God wants to be so much a part of who we are that you can't separate it out.
That's really helpful. You know, again, trying to answer my own question, I think of Keith Green and his music. Again, some of the people there Sunday were like, you know, that's how we described it. It was anointed
Keith
music
Green.
And what did you know about him? And my thought was, it was that it factor. But I think what happened is in those moments, some of his music, it just drew you into the presence of God.
Right.
I mean, somebody had posted a song that he did that afternoon and said, oh, here's my favorite Keith Green song. And when I read that, I went, wow, I forgot he sang that song, and I love that song. Because the song does not remind me of him. It reminds me of what the song says about God. And some of his music was very prophetic, and I think at that point it draws you into the presence of God so that we are confronted with our sinfulness and have that opportunity then to change and repent. And you know, so his music is one. Sometimes you can hear a sermon and it's like, okay, this is a lot bigger than everything we experience, because God is really more present. How do you even say that?
I know, there aren't words.
God is more present in that moment. And I also am aware that what some people experience as an anointed word, not everybody experiences.
It does kind of depend on who you are and where you are in your life. I agree. I want to go back to something you said a minute ago, though, about the repentance, because that's the other way that I know that the Holy Spirit is involved in something, because or has anointed something, is that the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to convict us of our sin. And a lot of times people want to run away from that. Like they don't like that about the Holy Spirit. But the crazy thing is, when something is anointed with the Holy Spirit, it has this incredible way of convicting us of our sin while drawing us closer to God. It's like the kindness of Jesus that changes us. It's this, I don't want to have the sin a part of me anymore, because it makes me incomplete. But when I have Jesus, then I am complete. And so it's the only being, the Holy Spirit is the only being that can convict us in such a way that makes us still feel loved.
Right.
It's amazing.
And again, the more I read the prophets, and they get the rap of gloom and doom and bad news, because they talk about the coming of the day of the Lord and all these things. Because they were always calling people to repentance.
Yeah.
But it's almost like the prophet starts off with, You're messing up. Yes. You're messing up. You're sinning.
Yes.
Okay. It's really getting bad. You need to turn back now. Oops.
Right.
Too late.
Uh-huh.
Now you get the consequences of it, but don't worry.
Yes.
It is the kindness of God that draws us back to God, and God is going to restore you, and God is going to, I mean,
it's always good
news.
You
get so lost in the bad news, you miss the good news.
Right.
So let's move on a little bit, because one of the things that I believe is that all the people of God, since the anointing comes from the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
all the people of God who are filled with the Holy Spirit are anointed to do something. Now, not everybody is anointed to do the things I do. Not everybody's anointed to do the things you do, but everybody who is filled with the Holy Spirit is anointed to do something. And so one of the things that we continue to preach and teach here at St. Andrews mm-hmm. is that everybody is a minister,
mm-hmm.
that they're called by God, they're gifted by the Holy Spirit, they're ordained through their baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize, again, some of that language may be unfamiliar
to some people.
And we'll be glad to explain it to you if you need
more
explanation.
Absolutely.
But let's focus on you are a minister because
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit resides in you, and you have been empowered
mm-hmm.
to do the work of God. And so that was the statement of the sermon.
Yep.
Those who are anointed are those who are empowered
mm-hmm.
to do the work of God. What kind of reflection do you mm-hmm. have on that?
Well, I think sometimes people tend to shy away from this idea a little bit because either they don't feel good enough or they don't feel like they have seen the evidence that God has anointed them, so they doubt whether or not God actually has anointed them. And what I would say to you is don't doubt God's ability to work through you. That you should never doubt his ability to do that. And a lot of times we talk ourselves out of God's ability to work through us because we think it only looks one way. Like we think, oh, that's just what pastors do, or that's just what teachers do. But God works through people in countless ways. I mean, I think about police officers, educators, moms, dads, grandparents. I think about people that work at Walmart in the cashier's line. I mean, every person has purpose. It doesn't matter what your vocation is. Every person has purpose because God is a God of purpose, and his Holy Spirit anoints us to fulfill his purpose within us. And that's why I would just say, don't ever shy away from this idea that you actually are a minister. What are your thoughts?
Well, again, I the first part of what you're talking about, my thought is we all suffer by comparison.
Yes.
And what I'm going to say, please receive this as a compliment because
mm-hmm.
it's how I mean it. You know, God has gifted you. God has anointed you as someone who can proclaim the word of God
mm-hmm.
as a preacher.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of Sundays I sit there and I go, Bud, you better bring your A game next week if you're going to preach after that.
I feel the same way about you.
You know,
that's funny.
And the reality is, it's not a competition.
No, it's not.
I mean,
right.
I hope our people are blessed. I know it's a blessing to me
mm-hmm.
that if people come and worship with us, whether
mm-hmm.
you know it's on site or online,
right.
the proclamation part of what we do, I think is good.
Yeah.
Does that mean everybody likes it?
No.
but it's not a competition.
Right.
And because you do have that anointing in your life,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to go, God, you know, I don't want her to be that good.
That's funny.
You know, it's like iron sharpens iron.
Yes, right.
And,
exactly.
That's one of the things I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of the things that I've been kind of rolling around in my mind, I think I almost got lost in it in
mm-hmm.
the sermon,
mm-hmm.
was talking about how the anointing are those who have been empowered to do the work of God, that God has set aside, you know, people that we can minister to,
uh-huh.
which you're going to minister to people I can't reach.
And
I'm going to minister to people
you,
that
right.
you can't reach. And so that whole idea of separation or being set apart is literally what ordination means. Ordination means to set apart. And so I've kind of been rolling around, well, does anointing equal ordination?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer to that, and I haven't delved into this deeply, but my answer to that would be no.
Right.
Because we're ordained through our baptism. Our baptism is what sets us apart.
Right.
Our baptism is what ordains us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are people who, in the sense of, you know, our tradition that are ordained, are not necessarily people who experience great amounts of anointing.
Uh-huh.
And I realize that's a very harsh thing for me to say. I don't mean anything
ugly
by
true.
It. But But I would say, because I've been set apart, mm-hmm. God, I need you to anoint
yes.
what I am doing.
Right.
And I don't know exactly where I want to go with that.
Let me piggyback on that, because I really agree with you. There's a humility that has to come at some point in our lives to say, nothing I do is really long-lasting, eternal without the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so if your desire is to be significant in the world, which I was just listening to one of my favorite worship leaders who was giving a talk on this, and she was talking about how we're all kind of born with that innate desire to be significant. Like we want to make a difference in the world, and we're all gifted in different ways to do that, but we all have that same desire to make a difference, to be significant. And really, there's a point of humility where you have to come to in your life, and it's the point where you actually are free, where you say, okay, I could do everything in my own strength and I'll be minimally significant. But if I give that strength over to God and I surrender it to Him and allow His strength to take over, oh boy, then watch out. There's some significance right there.
One of the experiences I had in life, and this just comes to me, so I'm going to share this because I'm hoping it is from God.
Yeah.
and not the mind of DA. I remember years ago when I was young in ministry, I'd been out of seminary a couple of years, probably, I don't know, 25, 26 years
yeah.
old. I'm not very old.
Yeah.
And I just absolutely loved Day Spring Camp,
yeah.
senior high discipleship yeah. camp that I worked in for several years. Our youth still go to that.
Yeah.
I preached it before. You preached
yeah.
it before. But this year I was young, and they asked me to preach Thursday night. So he was like, ooh, this is the big night.
Yes, right.
For worship. And back in the day, Day Spring used to always have a concert one night at worship. And
uh-huh.
we'd had a guy, Billy Sprague. I loved
yeah.
his music. He was really fun and energetic.
Yeah.
And, of course, during the concert, people were going up and taking pictures. That's when we used cameras and not
right,
phones.
Right, not phones, right.
and doing all that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was very excited to preach, but I was very nervous
sure.
to preach because
yeah.
there were other pastors that were there that I looked up to, and I thought, man, I do not want to bomb
yes.
on this one.
Yes.
And so when I got ready to preach, I got up there, and I'm always cracking jokes, and I just said, let's go ahead and get this out of the way. I said, I'll go ahead and pose, and y'all can come take your pictures, and, you know, we'll
yes.
get that out of the way, and then I'll preach.
Yeah, right.
And what was funny was there's always that one kid that had their camera
oh,
with
yes.
them in worship and came up and took a picture,
yes.
and everybody was laughing, and I think it helped me connect with folks.
Yeah.
But after the service, some of the other leaders at camp said, man, you had them so hooked, we didn't
uh-huh.
even feel like we had to pray anymore.
Uh-huh.
We figured all the prayers had been answered.
Yeah.
But a good friend of mine who was a seminary classmate came up to me and he said, the anointing in your life is when you will be yourself.
Mm,
and
that's
that,
a good
that
word.
Has always stayed with me because I wasn't trying to be someone else.
Right.
and that's what I would tell you. You're a minister.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, there are people that are worthy of invitation, but
yeah.
at the end of the day, you've got to be yourself.
Yes.
That is how God, I think, works in our lives.
Yes.
He sets us apart.
Yes.
He anoints us. Be who you are.
Yeah.
You know?
But you're never more yourself than when you're anointed.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that is just so true. What a good
absolutely.
Word.
Absolutely. And,
yeah.
and part of my prayer when I'm praying for anointing is you know, God, rescue me from me. Because
yeah.
when you're walking in the anointing, it's a... You feel great.
Yes, you do.
and it's like, but Lord, I don't want to be full of me because that's you know, not a good
thing. That's not a good thing.
So I'm too full of me sometimes in other ways.
Are.
So everybody listening, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be that person. Walk in the anointing God
yes.
wants to give you. And then we haven't even touched on the job description. And so we spent a little time talking Sunday that the first thing Jesus says is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to bring
mm-hmm.
good news to the poor. And there was so much of that. Yeah, I didn't even talk about the bringing part. We just kind of focused on good news
so
and
good.
And who the poor were. And automatically, when we think of the poor, we usually think of people that are at an economic disadvantage.
Right.
Although sometimes when you hear about people in other countries that really don't have a lot of money, but they certainly don't feel disadvantaged,
right.
you know, compared to us.
Right.
But in the New Living Translation, it says, blessed are the poor who realize mm-hmm. their need for God.
Yeah. That's so good.
Fall in love with that. Yes. So comment on that.
Well, you know, when I think about being poor, or like in this phrase, it's talking about being poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. You think about your spirit. And I wish that we as Methodists talked more about our spirits, because my dad used to teach on this a lot, and he used to love it. It was called dimensional ontology, which was like a really big,
wow, that's,
you know, doesn't that make me sound smart?
250-cent words right there. You don't get change back on that dollar.
That's right. But it was all about how we often look at our spirit like it is the little part inside of us, you know.
Right.
It's the part that is kind of who we are, but we don't really touch it because we don't really understand it. But he would talk about how that's such a backwards way to look at who we are, because the spirit, our spirit, is actually the biggest part of who we are. It's the part that lives on after our bodies die. It's the part that is most easily connected to God, because like it says, we will worship God in spirit and in truth.
Right.
And God is spirit as well. And so our spirits connect with his. So when we think about being poor in spirit, that is a very bad place to be.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That you're like, okay, my spirit's the biggest part of who I am. And if I'm feeling drained there, then the rest of me can't function right.
Right.
And so you think about realizing your need for him. Well, that's where you realize your need for him. That it's your spirit that bears witness that you are a child of God, because it's your spirit where you realize how much you need him. And so if we will think about what it means to be poor in spirit, it really just means that we are lacking. Because anytime you're poor, you're lacking something. You don't have
right.
something that you need.
Right.
And so when you're poor in spirit, you realize that you're lacking God, that you need the one thing that will complete you. And when we talk about how Jesus is tasked with bringing good news to the poor, it's the fact that, hey, those of you that are poor in spirit, that know how much you need God, I'm here to make the connection. It's because of who I am and what I'm about to do that you can now be complete. You can now be no longer lacking. And that's like the best news in the whole world.
Yeah, the prophets, again, when Isaiah says this, the prophet method, you know, Don't sin.
Right.
Repent.
Right.
And that's what happens when we truly recognize the lack, when we truly yeah. recognize the poverty of spirit.
Yep.
What God does through that, what is call us back to repentance. Mm-hmm. And it's the kindness of
yes.
God. Okay, you've suffered mm-hmm. long enough. Let's get you out of that situation
yes.
that you've been in. Let's get you out of that stinking thinking you think
yeah.
about yourself. Let's get
yes.
you out of that. But the other thing is, when Isaiah is saying this, he's like, everybody's thinking, we're going to go back home. We're in exile
right.
in Babylon. We're
going
to go back
right.
to Israel and Judah, and that's where we're going to go.
Uh-uh.
And so Jesus stands there and reads that prophet, and then he sits down. He said, this is fulfilled. But Jesus didn't say, get ready, people. I am now your king. We're going to go into army.
Right.
No.
No.
The good news is you realize your need for God, and this is a kingdom I'm here
yes,
to proclaim.
Exactly.
I'm here to proclaim to you the kingdom of heaven. That's how Matthew would say
yes.
it, so the Jews could hear it.
Yes.
And it's like, wow. Mind-blowing.
Yes.
I am broken. I am beat down. I am discouraged.
Yeah.
I am depressed.
Yeah.
And God's bringing me good news.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, would somebody say something good to make them feel better? No.
No.
He brings it to
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
And by his spirit, he raises us up.
Yep.
So that we can receive the good
yes.
news of the kingdom.
Ooh,
feel Ooh,
preach
it. Preaching on me right there.
So good.
Well, do you have some final thoughts for us today?
Well, I just hope that if anointing is a new word to you, or if it's an old word, that you will just continue to explore it, that you will continue to ask God that he would pour out his anointing upon you. It is not
yeah.
something that's just saved
yeah.
for the special people. It is for everybody who believes. So I hope that tonight, before you go to bed, that you will ask him, please anoint me with your Holy Spirit and let me understand what all that means. And I think you'll be on a great journey at that point.
Right. And again, I just continue to believe that there is someone that you know, not you, Stephanie, but those
right.
of you there, and well, I mean, you, Stephanie, too, but
right.
there's someone that you as a listener knows that needs to hear good news.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of trying to cram religion down their
Mm-mm.
throat. It's not even saying come to church and everything will get fixed.
Right.
It's a matter of sharing with them good news. And the good news is, without God in our lives, we are poverty-stricken, poor.
Yeah.
And we don't have to live that way.
No, we don't.
We don't have to live that way.
That is such good news. Well, friends, I am so glad that you've joined us today, and I look forward to seeing you back again next week as we continue this series. I hope that you will join us on site for our service at 10:30, or you can join us online at Facebook Live or YouTube Live. But we continue to pray for you, and we ask God's anointing upon you and upon us as we continue in ministry together. We're excited about all that God is doing in your life. So we pray that you have a very, very blessed week, and we'll see you next time.
Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe that'll work for you. God bless.